You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three is underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and early exit polling is once again in. And once again, our exit polls show that red leads the way. So, Tony Cincotta, you now have earned 70% of the votes. Congratulations.
Oh, you know what? Congratulations to America. America's the one that celebrates here, and we prosper all together.
Yeah, really. America's going to be run by a comedian.
In fact, if one of our candidates win, they will be. Yes, it's true.
I don't have that background.
No, I meant real candidates. When at 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time, we'll wrap up our Election Day coverage with our final poll of the day, which will feature Corey's red versus Tony's blue. That comes your way at 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time. And because it is Election Day, we're going to give you the chance to make your fantasy playoffs, and that's making it easier for you. In order to do that, go to rotoexperts.com right now. Purchase the Exclusive Edge Playoff Push Package, and you do it right now. You type in free radio at checkout, and not only will you get our Playoff Push Package, but we're giving it to you for less than $10. It's an unbeatable deal, and inside of it, you'll get Scott Angle's Exclusive Edge Chat taking place tonight before your election coverage kicks off 7 p.m. Eastern Time. rotoexperts.com, the place to be. I wanted to mention here, gentlemen, some of the snap counts from this past week, because I always find it very, very interesting. And Mayo has it up on his Twitter account, our buddy Pat Mayo. Follow him at the PME. Because snap counts, they don't always tell the whole story, but they do predict a little bit. Because we're all mentioning, for instance, this morning, Chris Ivory as someone we should spend quite a lot of money on, whether it's $35, $36, $40, $25, and you said, Corey. But did you know the snap counts in Jacksonville this week? Tony, you were offering the most money for him. You wanted over 35% of the budget. Do you know what the snap counts were? If I told you that there were 77 total RB snap counts between TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory, what would be your guess?
I would guess 40-37.
In favor of who?
Ivory.
40-37. Scotty.
Ivory, 45-32.
45-32, Ivory. Corey.
You said, how many altogether?
77 total. I know you got to do math. I apologize.
Yeah. New York City
you got.
Wait, didn't you go to private school?
Yeah, I did. Let me carry one.
Carry that one. Yeah.
Give me, I think, 43-37.
Okay. That doesn't add up. That doesn't add to 77, but that's okay.
But I think it's Chris Ivory.
All right, so you're saying 43-34 Chris Ivory.
43-34.
So 43-34 is correct, except TJ Yeldon
I'll snap.
Had 43, and Chris Ivory had 34. Now,
well, what happens in that offense, though, a lot of that got dictated later in the game. Yeldon does play in more of the passing situations there. So.
Yeah.
That's going to continue to happen if Jacksonville keeps playing
That's exactly what I wanted to get to here, Tony. You're right. Ivory doesn't really play in the passing situation. That is TJ Yeldon's job. And Jacksonville's always down. They're always passing, which means I have to imagine Yeldon's snaps will continue to be more. TJ Yeldon is someone that I get. He's probably not out there on waiver wires, but he's someone that nobody really wants. They have not been impressed with TJ Yeldon all year long, and yet the snaps are there. You're desperate for a running back. You have four teams on bye, as you guys have mentioned here this morning. Is TJ Yeldon, Tony, someone that maybe you should make some low-end trade for, considering the snaps are still there?
No, because just like little Marco Rubio, you can have a job and you don't do anything with it. So basically, TJ Yeldon is out in the field, but he's not participating in the offense. He's not putting up any numbers. So despite the snap count, it's just an illustration of a guy with a job.
In Detroit, we talked about Dwayne Washington a little bit. Theo Riddick doubled his snap count, as one would expect. I do want to go now, though, to Green Bay. because we talked a little bit about yesterday, Ty Montgomery, and Tony's been very, very adamant that Montgomery should remain a wide receiver. However, I feel like he's coming. You come a little bit more to the running back range here, Tony, considering that Montgomery meets with the running backs coaches now. He's not even in the wide receiver meetings. He feels more comfortable, and he's basically playing only running back. With that being said,
I stand up, though, for the league. Is the problem is if you drafted Ty Montgomery, you should not be penalized because you drafted him as a wide receiver or you picked him off the waiver wire. So I think he should get dual position eligibility.
Okay, and I agree with that.
Wide receiver and running back.
So just speaking of running back snapcasts, and Corey's cheating.
I'm not looking at it.
All right, good. You just took it off because you had it on there. You're Snapchatting instead. Fantastic. Green Bay, there are 44 snaps in between Ty Montgomery and Don Jackson. Corey, I'll start with you. 44 snaps at running back. How would you break it down?
It was 31-13.
He says he didn't cheat as he gets it. You think I believe that for a second as I watched you have it up on your photo.
31-13. How about that?
How about that? What a shock. 31-13. Ty Montgomery. Are you ready to call Ty Montgomery running back for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, boy. Unfortunately, yes.
Why is it unfortunate?
I mean, because he's not a running back.
He is a running back. I just proved it to you.
Yeah, now you did.
He's not prototypical.
Exactly. He's not. If we were going into the season and you told me Ty Montgomery was going to be the running back, I was like, he's nowhere on my board.
I know what you're saying.
Sure.
When you're playing with Ty Montgomery on Madden, you don't expect a spin move or him to break a tackle.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. So, I mean, he gets good work out the backfield. He's a dynamic talent. I like the way they're using him in the offense. Now, he's the guy you hold on to. You ride him going forth. I think the Jackson kid is intriguing.
Like Don?
I got him on a team. I wouldn't dare put him in a lineup until I see something first. But the 13 snaps, maybe that's something that could go up. Is Ty Montgomery built to take the punishment that a running back takes, though?
We have talked about Baltimore and Kenneth Dixon this week, who's out there on wires, and Terrence West. There are 50 snaps in between Kenneth Dixon.
Can I just make a quick point about Green Bay, though?
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead,
sorry,
Scotty.
Why would Jackson be intriguing? You know, he's not really getting any work. When he's getting any work, he's not done any with it. James Starks supposedly is close to returning,
too. That's right. That makes sense, Scotty. I forgot Starks was coming back. Yeah, when James Starks come back, I'm going to cut this Don Jackson joker.
You would cut him. Okay.
Don Jackson. Mm-hmm. Is he the whole Soul Train?
I was thinking that.
You know, Jesse Jackson was in Florida yesterday.
Oh, really?
He came back. Yeah, he was in Florida yesterday.
Oh, he's not in jail? Oh, that was his son. That's right.
Tito Jackson.
I'm liking this R. Kelly nickname for Robert Kelly.
Yeah, R. Kelly.
I'm in on that.
Kels.
Tyrod Taylor still has the best nickname, though.
T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
You like T-Mobile?
You know what's crazy about R. Kelly? How many records do you think this guy sold or whatever?
A lot.
A ton.
Yeah. Millions.
Right,
a ton.
Millions, right? Yeah. And all he's remembered is peeing on somebody.
Right.
Nobody gives credit for his music.
Right.
Like, one mistake changes your whole life.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's true.
We literally only remember him peeing on little girls, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Confused.
Like the guys
little girls sounds bad. They were not over 18.
They were not over 18. Right? They're like 15 years old.
It's like Lenny Melnick had this distinguished career. And you know, then they remember him for calling WFAN.
What is going on?
Greg, put it. It's the quarterback. Everybody get in huddle.
Thank we got to take that snap.
Everybody get in huddle. Let's go.
I don't want to mention that anymore.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Hall of Fame.
50 snaps between Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon. And we talked about Kenneth Dixon out there on the waiver wire. Tony, you mentioned you still like Terrence
snaps.
West, though. Well, Kyle Juszczyk got 34 of them. Got 34 snaps. I'm not including him here. I don't know if he was separate or with these guys, so I'm taking him out. So 50 snaps between Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon. Tony, I'll start with you here. What do you think the snap difference is? Please don't look at your phone again, Corey.
Oh, my bad.
23-27. I think Dixon was the victor.
27-23, Dixon the victor. Yes. Corey.
27-23, but the other way.
Okay, 27-23. West is the winner.
With Terrence West is the winner.
Scotty.
I'm going to say even.
You're going to say even. You're going to say 25-25.
Yep.
It was 30-20 with Terrence West in the lead here. Now, given that West did have 10 more snaps than Dixon, despite both guys being ineffective, how do you see it breaking out the rest of the way, Scott?
I think it's going to continue to be this way for another week or two. I think West has a short leash to keep the job, but I think if Dixon shows anything, he'll overtake him.
You think Dixon will overtake him?
Yeah, Terrence West has been bad the last two games.
So would you...
All of a sudden, he's
turned... What
about
Kenneth Dixon? He hasn't been great either.
No, I'm just saying... I agree with you.
When do we stop blaming the Baltimore offense?
Right, I agree with you. But what I said was, if Kenneth Dixon shows anything, I didn't say he will show anything. It's going to one of two things: either Dixon's going to move forward and take this job, or otherwise it's going to be like a timeshare that nobody wants to touch.
It's a situation to avoid.
Yeah.
Situation to avoid.
Dwayne Washington would fit nicely in this.
Yes, he would.
speaking of situations to avoid, guys, we're in Cleveland. Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. Corey, you love Isaiah Crowell.
I'm the crow.
You're on the crow.
Mm-hmm.
There were 44 snaps between the two of them, which is also low. But 44 snaps between the two of them. How do you break it down?
24-20 to the crow.
24-20 to the crow. Tony? Yeah.
Well, it should have been 30. Based on the score, it should have been 30-14, Duke Johnson, because they should have been throwing the ball. But that wasn't the case. I'm going to go 22 apiece.
Okay.
I'm going to say 28-16.
We got an exact number, and that goes to Tony Cincata. 22 apiece for Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson here, Tom.
I think it's a lot. You know, it's bad planning. I can't believe how mismanaged that Duke Johnson. He's not a guy I loved coming into the season, and I thought he was overdrafted. But to be honest, Hugh Jackson has done a terrible job using this guy.
Let's hop into that right quick. When they hired Hugh Jackson, it was like they were brought in the best thing in head coaching history.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Hugh Jackson, players coach, good guy, stand-up guy, classy guy, real NFL guy, knows that division. Handles running backs well. The team is 0-8. And they know what the hell they're doing. Is Hugh Jackson overrated? Or do we still give Hugh Jackson a shot because this is the Cleveland Browns? Maybe what they need is some consistency in that organization.
I think we give Hugh Jackson a shot here to develop this team. I think they've been just destroyed by injuries. I think he needs another year.
Didn't have a quarterback.
I mean, he went through six of them here. So I think he still deserves a shot in Cleveland, I'd say.
What do you think, Scotty?
I think you got to give him more rope because he ain't in a situation with much hope.
Okay. I don't like the rope reference, but.
Hey, you took it that way. I didn't say it that way.
Oh, boy. When he said rope, immediately what I said, I thought, let's just keep my mouth shut. Let's go.
I used to keep it moving. Please don't say nothing. Please don't say nothing.
We have talked about what to make in New Orleans, guys, with Timmy Hightower and Mark Ingram. Ugh. Combined, they had 69 snaps total. Don't make a sound, Corey. With Tony, you gave us a groan there. 69 between Hightower and Ingram. How do you separate it?
All right. I watched this game, and I know he had 23 carries, Ingram.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, Hightower. But it seemed like Ingram was on the field more.
Okay.
So 69 carries.
Yep.
I am going to go with a slight 37-32 Ingram.
37-32 Ingram. Scott?
35-34 Ingram.
35-34 Ingram. Corey?
I'm going to go 39-30 Hightower.
Corey, the closest, 36-33 Hightower. You were right. Hightower was ahead of
close.
Ingram. Very, very close here. This is a legit.
Wait, Corey wasn't the closest?
He had Hightower ahead.
I had Hightower ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's true.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So you had. This is a very, very clear timeshare.
We've seen this before. We saw this down the stretch last year. We know that Tim Hightower can do this job.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram been playing all season. You get a healthier Tim Hightower going down the stretch. I went spent big on Fab last week for Tim Hightower. So far, the first week it worked out against a pitiful defense. This week the situation is a little bit more dire, but they are going to use both these running backs. I'm comfortable with both of them.
What about you, Scott? Are you comfortable with both of them going forward?
I think Ingram's got to prove it over more than one game that he's rejuvenated.
Mm.
So I could see Hightower still being in the mix.
Hey, Tony Cincata, the next one up here is another split that we've been talking about a lot this morning in Denver. Capri Bibbs and Devontae Booker. There's 53 snaps between them. Tony, how did you break that down?
Jesus. This one, 53, 30 and 23 Booker.
30 to 23 Booker. Scott.
I'm going to say 32-21
Booker. 32-21
Booker.
I watched a good piece of this game because I was in on the Oakland Raiders this week. And I believe Devontae Booker really did the majority of the work. I'm going to go 40-13
Booker. 45-8
Booker.
So we keep talking about this massive split between Devontae Booker and Capri Bibbs. We talk about Capri Bibbs breaking into Booker's workload. Bibbs got 8 snaps last week. 8, guys.
This guy Booker, you know what?
Yeah, but
he might just suck.
He might.
But the whole speculation is based on the comments of Coach Kubiak after, I think, that.
Coaches always lie.
Yeah. That's true. No, I'm not saying he's right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're right by doing this, but this is what it's all based on, is the coach's comments.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just wondering, even if the differential comes down a little bit, right, and it's not 45-8, maybe it's some of the numbers that you guys guess. We're talking about 35-18 here. Like, that's still a significant number. It's 2-1, Booker to Bibbs. So I don't know if we should be worrying so much about Capri Bibbs.
As that gap closes, though, then you know what happens? Then the guys become touchdown dependent. And we can't predict that.
But yes and no. I mean,
I kind of agree with Greg because, you know, they invested a draft pick in Booker. And I think they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to give Booker a longer look before. Yeah, this, like I said, this could just be motivational through the press.
It could be. Absolutely. Yeah. I do think that Devontae Booker, at least for now, I don't think he has anything to worry about personally. Okay.
I hope he's listening to the show. I like hearing that.
Yeah. Glad he won't.
We calmed him. We calmed him?
Yeah.
Good.
Sussman said, "I ain't losing my job."
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how he sounds, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Last one I wanted to give out here was in Minnesota.
Oh, boy.
And this is tough because there's 3 of them, so make sure you get your pen and paper here.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
It's the SATs.
When's your birthday, Corey?
October 11th.
I'll buy your calculator.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My buddy's birthday is October 11th.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? My cousin, too. That's a big popular birthday. I like that. All right. The snap count here between these 3 guys is again 69 between Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon, and Ronnie Hillman. It is 69.
Whenever I'm at the deli,
yes,
I am the most childish guy in the world. I wait for them to say 69 and I yell out, "Dinner for two."
Okay. I love it.
Corey,
he did that when he moved up to New York, though, and people just looked at him like, "What's wrong with
Corey,
this guy?"
We're going to start with you here on those 3 guys: Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon, and Ronnie Hillman.
And 69 is
69
the total.
Is the total.
I'm going to go 25 McKinnon, 25 Asiata, 19 Hillman.
Okay, 25, 25, 19 you're going with. Okay, Scott.
That sounds like a lot, though, for Hillman.
I'm going to go 27 for Hillman.
Okay.
Ooh, for Hillman.
I'm going to say 24 for Asiata.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that leave for McKinnon? 18, I think?
I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
27, 14, 18. Okay.
Yeah.
Tony.
So I watched this game in the second half late, and Hillman was in a lot, but I don't think he was in there early.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 21 Asiata. I am going to go 28 for Jerick McKinnon, and then I'm going to go 20 for Ronnie Hillman.
So it's very interesting because Matt Asiata led this backfield and snaps this week with 27. Jerick McKinnon was next at 25. Ronnie Hillman last with 17.
I was close.
You were close. And it's interesting because, Scotty, you were mentioning that you thought Ronnie Hillman actually wound up leading this team in backfield, and you mentioned, Corey, you were interested in actually picking Ronnie Hillman up. He was 3rd in this backfield. Remember, Jerick McKinnon was coming back from this ankle injury here, and he still had 8 more snaps than Ronnie Hillman. I have to believe, despite how much more effective Hillman was rather than McKinnon, that going forward, Hillman's number is only going to go down, and I think McKinnon's is only going to go up.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they've been trying forever to, you know, make something out of Hillman. Behind this offensive line, it's going to be tough. Again, this is another situation to avoid.
I think it's another.
The problem here with the snap count, looking at that snap count, is that they couldn't get any pass blocking. I think that's why Matt Asiata was in that game more.
Yeah.
And that might not change. That he actually might be in there for pass blocking purposes as well instead of McKinnon.
The only thing you could hope with this backfield is that Asiata gets a touchdown in any given week.
Yeah. That's his thing.
That's his thing. And I actually played Italy against Matt Asiata this week. And he had to get stuffed 6 times at the goal line. It was fantastic to watch. Wow. And that's the problem. I mean, he had so many opportunities at the goal line and just did not convert this week. That's the problem, of course, with Matt Asiata and this backfield.
Like Jake Sealy couldn't get in.
You love using that joke.
Wonderful.
All right, when we come back.
Scott told me yesterday he was going to leave Jake alone because Jake's a religious guy.
Right.
And that hasn't worked.
Yes.
Damn, I did it again.
What happens?
What'd you do again? It's like trying to break a bad habit, you know?
What'd you do, Scott?
What's going on?
I said I wasn't going to make fun of Jake Steele anymore because he
doesn't. You've done it 14 times last half hour.
He doesn't get in. He doesn't get any by choice because he's a religious guy.
No, I mean,
stop doing it.
Yeah.
Why don't we come back? We're going to talk a little basketball now. I don't know where this show has gone. We'll talk some DFS basketball. We'll talk about the basketball from the night before. And we will have our final poll coming up at 9:40 between Corey and Tony. Stick around. The Road to Experts continues right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Scott Engel, Greg Sussman, Tony Sincana, Corey Parson here, hanging out with you on a Tuesday morning. It is Election Day. Chris Pavona producing today. Nice job, Chris.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Always happy to have you back on the board. Let's go over the games from last night. And again, in a night I did not do particularly well, Tony.
You know, it was a tough night because a lot of people stayed away from that Golden State game because they thought it would be a blowout, but they hung in there, the New Orleans Pelicans, despite their 0-7 record.
0-7 record New Orleans hung in there with. And, you know, Tim Frazier, I actually started, and he did pretty well, but that was the only guy I started, and he did well. Anthony Davis, 33-13 yesterday to lead the way for New Orleans. And people really expected a lot of garbage time minutes, and you're trying to figure out who would play in garbage time. Buddy Hield, the 28 minutes, that was the easy one to predict. He had 9-6. Langston Galloway had 9-4. The frustrating thing for me, Tony, was Terrence Jones, only 15 minutes of action as Solomon Hill started for this team. Omar Sheik started for this team. And Dante Cunningham, Terrence Jones, both on the bench. And Jones gets 15 minutes of action after being fantastic a couple days ago.
Yeah, he's a guy that I actually picked in season long and I played in yesterday. One of the listeners actually sent me a message said they're done with Terrence Jones. And you have to be done with him until you find out a playing rotation that's going to be in line every single week with this Pelicans team. They're not well coached at all.
Awful.
And they're 0-7.
Awful.
It's just crazy, the whole situation. So he's a guy that I just think you can't put in, night out in fantasy because you just don't know the playing time.
Michael Kidd Gilchrist had 13 points. Before he, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong game.
Yeah, we'll get to Charlotte in a moment here.
I'm sorry.
We'll get to Charlotte in a moment here. Golden State last night, 13 three-pointers in one game for Steph Curry. He breaks his own record, 46-5-5. Of course, this coming off a game in which Steph Curry had 0 3-pointers for the first time in 157 games. But Curry, who has been actually very, very cheap on daily platforms because of the arrival of Kevin Durant, he quieted a lot of people last night, Tom.
Yeah, this pisses me off because I always say don't confuse the result with the decision. And I talked about how this guy was underpriced big time last night. And Klay Thompson underpriced big time last night. Both these guys were easy plays. I didn't have either of them.
Yeah.
And he puts up 13 three-pointers, 46 points. Klay Thompson, 24 points in this contest. These are two guys, until you see the price, even Kevin Durant last night, right? He had the best matchup on paper. He was under 10,000. He was 9,900 on DraftKings. Those are good prices from these guys. Usually you stay away from these guys, but these guys are ownable because of those prices being so low.
You know, it's so interesting. I look at Golden State, and besides Durant, honestly, I never feel comfortable starting anyone. Obviously, Curry's price is so low, and now you're at the point, okay, now you can start him. Klay Thompson doesn't do anything but score, so I don't really start him. And then you get the Draymond Green, Tony, and I never, ever have him in my lineup. I just don't, never feel comfortable doing it because he doesn't score anymore, but the counting numbers are there. 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, it's incredible. Do you feel comfortable starting him night in and night out?
this is a weird thing because I drafted him in a 12-team league in the third round the day before the season started. And I was like, man, how long can this guy not be drafted? So I picked him there.
Right.
In DFS, I've never used him one single day so far because the upside's not there. His price is down low, too. I mean, this is a guy that was a $10,000 player last year. He's doing all the dirty work on this team. So here's the thing. If he stays in the $7,000 range and you're getting 10 rebounds and 10 assists a night and he just scores 12 points, that's a monster number.
Monster.
So he's only four baskets away from having a really huge game. We should be considering him, but I have never used him once.
It's so hard because he doesn't score. So it's like you're just really banking on all these other numbers that...
Seven shots!
It's incredible. It just
he only took seven shots!
It's crazy. It's crazy. So the Warriors fall. The Warriors defeat New Orleans here, 116-106.
Yeah, nothing really going on that's really of note injury-wise here. Anderson Varejao was inactive. Not that it made a difference, but... just to note, New Orleans lost for the 15th time in their past 16 games against Golden State.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Oklahoma City defeats Miami 97-85. In this game, both teams under 100 points here. Russell Westbrook put up 14-11 last night, 5 rebounds, but only 14 points for Russ, Tony?
Yeah, no good for Russ Westbrook on his last night. 5 for 16, so he had a terrible shooting night, and he only shot 16 shots, but got it done on the floor. They were plus 24 when he was on the court last night, so they only won by 8. So Russell Westbrook was doing it from both sides of the ball last night, and the 11 assists, so he was dishing off. I'll tell you what, you got to give a lot of credit to this Oklahoma. They're 6-1. Everybody looks at that Golden State loss. Great job by them, but how about Enes Kanter? You can't predict this guy one night to the next. 24 points, 10 rebounds in 21 minutes of play. Those are huge numbers. That's how good this guy is, though. I don't know why they don't use him and Adams on the court more.
Yeah, Domantas Sabonis put up 15-10 in 30 minutes of action. Russell only saw 27 minutes, which I thought was interesting.
People don't realize Hassan Whiteside, he blocks shots and gets rebounds. Mm-hmm. He's not a good one-on-one defender. And you can look at the numbers here by big men in this contest. Miami has a problem with big men, and a lot of it is because of Whiteside.
Speaking of Whiteside, only 5 points. He went 2 of 8 from the field yesterday, 5 and 12 for him. Justice Winslow, he can't shoot for anything. The minutes are there. The usage is there. He can't shoot, though, Tony.
He's a guy that I thought would be okay yesterday because he's a lot like Draymond Green.
He was in my lineup.
He's going to get your rebounds, assists. He's going to get your steals. And the problem is you're going to suffer games 2 for 13. Benny Ricciotti did a great job pointing this out. He just can't throw the ball in the ocean. So when you look at him, he's more of a guy that you're going to use when the salary drops because his salary was elevated again last night. So that was a bad play.
Yeah.
And I liked him a little bit as well.
I had him in my lineup. Deion Waiters here also had a brutal shooting night, 1 for 9. He had 2 points. James Johnson off the bench. 25 minutes of action, he had 18. If you look at a Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson in your seasonal leagues, I actually own Tyler Johnson in quite a few leagues. He struggles shooting the ball as well. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 27 minutes. Josh Richardson in his return, in his second game of his return, he had 7 and 4.
Steven Adams did bang his right thumb in the first quarter, but was able to play with it wrapped and finish the game.
All right. Going to Charlotte, as Scotty mentioned, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist left this game early, came back in the second half. Charlotte defeated Indiana 122-100. The Hornets, Tony, are now 5-1, led by Kemba Walker's 24-10 last night.
This game was a huge disappointment because Charlotte blew them out, and he didn't get big minutes. These guys were putting up amazing numbers in the first half of this contest. Kemba Walker only held at 25 minutes last night. He had 24-10 in 25 minutes. You mentioned the Kidd Gilchrist. He was a guy that was on fire with 13 points early in that game, and then he gets injured. Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, I hate this situation where everyone's healthy. I think all these guys are good in the front court because they're cheap, but now you have Kaminsky, Williams and Zeller all going for minutes, and Spencer Hawes is still there too.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be tough fantasy wise to take care of this front court.
Yep.
I liked Frank Kaminsky last night, and he didn't deliver. He had 11 points and 2 rebounds and 2 assists.
You probably heard him once Marvin Williams was declared active last night. Only 19 minutes of action for him. Over to the Indiana side, and this is just a weird game overall. I mean, you like Paul George, he only put up 10, 6, and 7, so the counting numbers were there, only 1 of 3 from behind the arc. 12 and 5 for Miles Turner, who's got to be one of fantasy's biggest disappointments, Tony.
Oh, he after the first two games, he just lit it up, right? And then he's gone the other way. He only played 21 minutes in last night's contest, too, as Al Jefferson is a guy that I think if you are playing in leagues, make sure that Al Jefferson's on. If he's on the waiver wire and you have a deep bench, I would pick this guy up because I think he's going to start stealing more and more minutes from Miles Turner.
There's a good name to watch, Al Jefferson. Speaking of injuries, the Jazz were without George Hill last night. George Hill hurt his thumb, couldn't really move it around, and he was a late scratch. Most people thought he would play. I had him in my lineup most of the day. Pulled him out for Shelvin Mack, and a lot of people had Shelvin Mack last night as a cheap punt play. Only 8-5 for Mack in the 109-84 victory for the Jazz. They were led the way by Gordon Hayward, who has returned Scotty, and he's just putting up the minutes, back-to-back games. He played over 30 minutes in both contests. He's right back to his normal usage.
Okay, and some other notes about Kid Gilchrist. They're saying he's day-to-day, and something, if you remember, though, Indiana is 0-4 now on the road this season. They are losing their games away from home by an average of 16.5 points.
So to watch out in DFS when they're away, Indiana might not be a good play. Back to the Jazz, though, Tony. Gordon Hayward, as I said, really returned right back into his normal routine here, leading the way with scoring. And a lot of people have wondered what this would do to Rodney Hood's usage. He put up 18 points last night.
Yeah, you know, Rodney Hood is a guy that at 29 minutes, as long as he's getting to play, he's a shooter, though. He's really only going to get you offensive numbers from the points production, so you come up short in the other categories. Look at last night, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. So he's just one of those guys that will deliver points for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek Favors had a double-double with 16-14. Over to Philadelphia, Sergio Rodriguez only had 6. Joel Embiid, who a lot of people had as a very, very cheap play at the center position, when you're only getting 19 to 24 minutes a game, you got to do a lot. I mean, 14-9 is good, but the 5 turnovers hurt. Only 19 minutes of action for him. Jahlil Okafor off the bench, he had 15. Over to Houston and Washington, John Wall gets thrown out of this game late. Very well could be suspended for bumping an official. Wall finishes with 21-8-5 in a good matchup, but those 6 turnovers hurt his DFS value last night. Otto Porter was a very good play last night. I think everybody thought that. He put up 20-8. Marcin Gortat had 14-12, and Bradley Beal, Tony, had 20 points.
Yeah, the biggest disappointment for me in this game is Markieff Morris. He started out 0-8 in this contest, finished 3-14. He had 7 points, 9 rebounds. It was a perfect matchup.
Yes, it was.
And he just didn't deliver from a shooting perspective there. Bradley Beal's a guy that I played last night, and Gortat. They both played well. But interesting part of this was the decision to play Corey Brewer at the 2-guard in the starting. It didn't affect Eric Gordon at all because he still played 32 minutes, 11 points. But what it did, it freed up Ryan Anderson to take more 3-point shots. And he was 5-for-8 from 3-point land, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists as they try to bring some defense into this lineup in Houston. But Brewer only played 16 minutes, so I think it was more of a camouflage there. But it'll be interesting going forward how much time Corey Brewer gets in this offense.
What is more likely, the Packers to run the ball or Mike D'Antoni to try to play defense?
I think the Packers to run the ball. Like I laughed when I was reading this in the afternoon. I was like, oh yeah, all of a sudden after 10 years of coaching, these guys don't really care about. And he's going to put Corey Brewer is going to solve all their defensive woes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. James Harden was a better play, obviously, than Russell Westbrook, 32-15-6, but 8 turnovers is just unacceptable. Even when you're James Harden, you mentioned Ryan Anderson and what kind of game he had last night. Also, people like this cheap play, Clint Capella, and Capella had 14-6, 4 blocks. Where are you on Capella right now?
I think he's a good play for people if you need a center in your league. As far as a daily fantasy perspective, there's games where he just gets pulled out of it. If the game's close, he's going to get pulled out of the game in the fourth quarter because everybody sends him to the free throw line. He can't shoot free throws. Last night he was 0-2 to continue the demise there. So he's one of those guys you lose in the fourth quarter.
If John Wall is suspended, what do you guys think of Marcus Thornton as a DFS play?
Well, he's not the backup. That's the problem. That's that guy, Tomas, whatever his last name is. He was the one that started in the last game that Wall sat out. He was a punt play. He's very, very cheap. You get him in your lineups if John Wall is, in fact, suspended that one game. What's his last name? Tomas? Something with an S.
Sadoransky.
Yeah, sounds right. The Bulls beat Orlando by 30 last night. A major, major blowout here. So that hurt Jimmy Butler, who, you know, played 31 minutes, put up 20 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, 5 rebounds. Good spot for him. Taj Gibson, he is like the new Paul Millsap, Tony. Just a double-double every night, quietly.
Yeah, a little man underneath the board is absolutely getting it done. You're right. This guy is surprising me because the one guy that we all loved was Bobby Portis last year.
Free Bobby Portis!
Yeah, but he had 9.6 rebounds last night, but he's not getting an opportunity because Taj Gibson's playing so well. And Nikolai Mirotić also getting stuck on the bench here. This is a very deep Chicago team with a lot of wing players. They just lack the big men. A guy that I liked last night was Robin Lopez, but like I said, I couldn't put him in my lineup because he's only getting 22 minutes a game. He got up to 24 last night, 8-7. He only had one block. He's been averaging two blocks a game. So watch to see if he can get more minutes because the front court is interesting to me in Chicago.
Very disappointing. Disappointing game all around for Orlando. Nothing really to speak of here. They've been very disappointing in general from a fantasy perspective. Final game we haven't gone over yet is LA and Detroit. They win by 30 as well to the Clippers over the Pistons. I liked Marcus Morris last night. That was disappointing. He had 10 points. Andre Drummond had 15 and 12. KCP, what a brutal game. I mean, he's been somebody, Tony, that I've been able to put in my lineups because he's very, very cheap and he does stuff across the board. Last night, 1 point. One rebound, and that is it.
Yeah, the guy to watch in Detroit, John Laura, is starting to really play well. Mm-hmm. And last night, even in this game, 14.6 rebounds, two assists. He could be a guy that could steal some minutes there. It seems like they're flux. Remember, Ish Smith is at the point guard position. He'll be losing that job to Reggie Jackson eventually, who's come back and is starting to practice. He only had three assists in that contest yesterday in 24 minutes.
For the Clippers, Chris Paul, 24, 8, and 6. Good game for him. Blake Griffin had almost a triple-double, 13, 10, and 9. J.J. Redick put up 20, and I stayed away from the Clippers because the Pistons traditionally have a very good defense, and yet pretty much got exploited by anybody you started on the Clippers last night.
The only guy I liked in this game from a DFS perspective was J.J. Redick, and it was based on price.
Yep.
He was $3,900 on DraftKings yesterday, which I thought was crazy.
That's criminal, yeah.
This guy was, yeah, that was that low, and he put up 20 points yesterday, 6-9 from the field. This is a tough team because they play a lot of minutes, and a lot of guys get involved in the rotation. You saw in a blowout yesterday, Rivers 23 minutes, Felton 23 minutes.
I didn't even know Ray Felton was on that team. That's crazy.
Yeah, he actually got some extended playing time in another game earlier this year. And Rivers has been playing a lot of the three position as opposed to the backup point guard.
I never thought we'd see the day where Ray Felton's getting 23 minutes and Paul Pierce can't get off the bench. That's crazy.
And the Clippers hit
I think he's more of a cheerleader.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The Clippers hit a season-high 7 3-pointers in the first half.
There you go. Tonight, Tony, your favorite plays lie where?
My favorite plays in tonight's game, of course, we got a huge total in the Portland-Phoenix game, so a lot of numbers will point there. But I like Kyrie Irving tonight against Atlanta, who has not defended the point guard position well. And Kyrie Irving's one of the guys with a price too low, $7,400 on DraftKings, $7,300 on FanDuel. So he's the guy there. If you wanted to save a little money and go cheap, watch the news out of Dallas with J.J. Yep. Barrera and Deron Williams. That game against the Lakers, they're 23rd in the league against point guards. When you move down to the shooting guard, C.J. McCollum's not a bad play every night. And the shooting guard position stinks tonight. Mm-hmm. I will play Zach LaVine in every lineup against the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to play point guard and two guard tonight. And they're 28th in the league at covering two guards. So Zach LaVine comes into play. At the small forward position, it's Andrew Wiggins or Rudy Gay. They're the same salaries, except that Rudy Gay, $7,400 on FanDuel. He's only $6,800 on DraftKings. And he's $1,400 more than Andrew Wiggins, who in that same matchup against Brooklyn on FanDuel. So I would go Wiggins on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I think you go Gay or Wiggins there. At the power forward position, I don't like this position at all. I'm spending my money on DeMarcus Cousins against the New Orleans Pelicans, who are on back-to-back games in that contest. If you wanted to save a little money, I think JaMychal Green has a good matchup, and I do think Aminio in a game with a high total can go for a minimum salary for you. And at the center position, if you can use DeMarcus Cousins there, use him there. But Karl Anthony Towns has been really putting it together, and he's playing against Brooklyn, so I like a lot of Minnesota Timberwolves tonight.
For me, I look at that Phoenix game. As Tony mentioned, Phoenix and Portland. I have T.J. Warren locked and loaded in my lineup, as I seemingly always do. Right now, Devin Booker is my shooting guard. I'll see if I work Zach LaVine in later. And of course, Damian Lillard, never a bad start on any night in a very, very high-paced Portland-Phoenix game. And then I looked at Dallas and L.A., just as Tony mentioned. I have J.J. Barea in right now, pending Darren Williams. Harrison Barnes has just been tremendous. He's still underpriced on FanDuel, only $5,700, and he's just been leading this team with the injuries that they have. And then on the other side of things with the Lakers, Julius Randle, I think is a good start at $6,300. Power forward, as Tony said, very, very weak tonight. It's not a good spot. So I have Julius Randle in there. I also don't hate Trevor Booker for the Nets, but my one star that I have to get in there, Tony mentioned it, it's DeMarcus Cousins, and the second night of a back-to-back against New Orleans, he's at my center position on FanDuel tonight. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, it is our final election of the day. Tony Cincotta, Corey Parson, don't miss it. We'll wrap it up next. We return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Tony Cincotta, Corey Parson. Corey Parson will also be with you here for the Fantasy Best Friends Forever with Jake Seeley here. Comes on your way at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Scott Engel will be back for Old School Fantasy. And, of course, his Roto Experts chat tonight at 7 p.m. Use free radio checkout. You'll get the package for under 10 bucks. Tony Cincotta lineup locks. That comes your way at 6 p.m. tonight. You don't want to miss that. Set your lineups. You can't. There's no more late swaps. So set your lineups for basketball tonight and then go enjoy the election coverage wherever you are. It should be fun. Now, it is our final election of the morning. Scott Engel, I'm happy to have you as a moderator for this election. Corey Parson, your team today, your players that you represent,
yes,
that you will try to get elected by our people on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, are all Arizona Cardinals.
Mm.
John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, and Carson Palmer. You represent the red of Arizona. Tony Cincotta. You, my friend, represent the blue, the working class of Randall Cobb, Russell Wilson, and Jameson Crowder against Corey Parson. Randall Cobb, Russell Wilson, Jameson Crowder. Corey, we begin with you here.
Yes.
Representing Arizona in general, the red of Arizona. You have a team that has suffered injuries, that teams have called out for being old, past their prime. In fact, a senator in your state, a former prisoner of war, Senator McCain, he's been a senator forever there. Now, how could you look at this Cardinals team and fight against Tony's young studs for change? I mean, this team, Carson Palmer is old, and Larry Fitzgerald's old, and sure you have John Brown trying to bring some youth to it, but how can you look? How can you represent the youth of America?
The youth of America, what they need is to see people in position of leadership. And when you look at a player like Larry Fitzgerald, he's been a leader for many, many years in the NFL. Still a very serviceable guy for your fantasy football teams. He can put up the points that you need to help push the economy forward. You look at a player, a leader like Carson Palmer, a guy who's been there before, a guy who's done it. It's always going to be good times. It's going to be up and down. But we as Americans, we know how to bounce back. Look for Carson Palmer to bounce back. Look for Larry Fitzgerald to remain consistent. Somebody with immense, extreme talent like John Brown is a guy that we want to get involved in the process moving forward. So I look at these gentlemen. You may see them as older and washed up. I look at this experience that they have as people that can lead you forward as we strive for a different kind of change.
Mr. Parson, we have a question from the people for you.
Yes.
They want to know, do you believe in results? Can you answer that question?
I'm a big believer in results.
Okay, so Brian Taniti basically says to us, with you being 0-9
yes,
in his fantasy football league with you, with him,
yes,
how can we put any stock in your campaign?
It's this kind of journalism. It's this kind of gotcha journalism that I really feel is the problem with the whole process.
This comes not from the media. This is from the people.
This is from the media.
This is not from the media.
Can I talk, please?
You need to be clear, though. This does not come from the media.
Listen, do you want to be the moderator or do you want to be the candidate? Now, I
would
like
to answer the question correctly.
This is the reason why you trust. Because, like I said earlier, things are always not going to be rosy. There was positions put in place. There was things put in place that we felt very comfortable about. Now, we are known to be more risk-averse. It didn't work out this way. But you look at, you know, some of these other blue states with these guys like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Jordy Nelson, who ended up being fool's gold. Did we fall victim to that? Yes, we did fall victim to that. But in the long run, we're going to be there. We're going to stay the course. And we are going to spoil some people's plans down the stretch. That's the way I choose to respond to this brand of gotcha journalism.
Now, Tony Cincotta, your blue representatives here, Randall Cobb, Russell Wilson, they have been inconsistent. Russell Wilson has been somebody that your constituents have asked to be dropped from your ticket. You know, until really yesterday, where he picked up some momentum late in the polls, people did not want Russell Wilson on your ticket at all. Randall Cobb, well, he also upset your constituents this week because he was not supposed to be on the ticket. You brought him back earlier than expected, and he hurt your constituents by playing when everyone believed he would not. How can people trust you and these guys that you represent?
Because these guys that I represent are all about character. And when we look at America today, we see guys that walk around and they have their pants down. They have hooded sweatshirts on. They steal library books. They do everything imaginable that needs to be. They love Justin Bieber. The youth of America uses Justin Bieber as a place that exactly there. And then you have Russell Wilson, a man who refrained from sexual activities with a young and beautiful wife until they were married and did it the way that America was brought up and America had prospered. And you can look at young Russell Wilson, who started this year having no sex and also no touchdowns, no rushing yards for fantasy owners, and he never gave up. And you never quit on him. Our party never quit on Russell Wilson. We stayed the course. And he delivered last night on the biggest stage, Monday Night Football. And then he went home and took care of his woman like a good man should. But he waited to the appropriate time. And then you take Jamison Crowder. Everybody talks about DeSean Jackson. He's a man that was led with gang activity. And he had to get out of Philadelphia because of the gang activity. And he came to Washington. And Jamison Crowder said, you know what? Don't despair. I am just the guy that doesn't need to be in the newspapers. I do not have to have gangs behind me. I am going to just catch the ball, and then I'm going to put the ball down after I get a touchdown, and I'm going to play the game, and I could be the third or fourth fiddle in the Washington offense, but at the season's end, I am going to be the man with the numbers in Reggie Cobb. You know, they said I couldn't play. I'm not going to be able to get on the field because of injuries, but my team needed me, and I was going to show up for all the people in Wisconsin, in the Chiefs state. You know what? It's not a glorious state. It's not California. It's not Texas. It's not Florida. But it's still my people, and I was there for them.
Corey, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal.
This is the problem with my candidate. You see that decisive language against the youth of America. Mm-hmm. You hear him talking about hooded sweatshirts.
Yeah.
You hear him talking about gang activity,
yeah,
which is all lies.
Right.
These are all lies perpetrated by my opponent. Mm-hmm. If I'm a millennial voter, yeah, the youth of America, get behind my side. Get behind the red team. Get behind the trust and experience, not this divisive language and lies.
Now, Mr. Cincotta, you have been known to be outspoken against some people who are maybe more advanced in age in this industry. You know, how are you going to back the elderly?
One of the guys I'm going to have to say is that I am going to back the elderly. I've always been there. I believe that that we should have been able to put these people to rest earlier than why let them live through the illnesses in a life where there's no bingo. If they want to go and they want Dr. Kevorkian, give them Dr. Kevorkian. Let it end when on their terms. We don't dictate to the world when you can pass on this planet. Let them die.
This is my candidate. Is clearly
opponent.
My opponent is clearly not fit to lead in the United States of America. He's taking shots at the youth. He wants to euthanize our elderly. Are we serious, ladies and gentlemen? Are we serious about this?
I was
There's only one candidate on the ticket.
I was always referring to elderly players such as Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know. Candidate Cincata, do you want to euthanize Larry Fitzgerald?
No. He got 15 scholarships for the people over there so they can get their online degrees. And I think we need more online degrees because the schools aren't safe enough under Corey Parsons' administration. You can't send your kids to school anymore.
Now, Corey, you know, I apologize if this is a touchy subject for
yes.
you. But John Brown, are you proud to have him lead your ticket?
John Brown is a guy that's
he's an abolitionist.
He has his issues. He has his problems.
He bankrupted California.
I don't know how true it is about him bankrupting California. Listen, he has his issues. He has his problem. We're going to get behind him. We're going to put a team in place around him to help him mainly with his health care. His insurance policies need to be tightened up. We're going to bring in some experts. We're going to get that thing situated and taken care of, and we'll have him ready to go. I think that this candidate needs another shot at making it happen. We're going to put the right pieces around him and get him in a good spot.
I want to ask both the candidates this, and we'll start with you, Mr. Parson. How do you feel about psychiatric care as part of the health coverage, seeing as Carson Palmer may have not recovered from the NFC Championship game?
As far as psychiatric care, it's one of the things that is very important in this debate. We need to make sure that the health and wellness of people's minds are also taken care of. These are things that can bills that can add up, cause problem for working class families. So what we're going to try to do with these people that may have these kind of issues is we're going to get them in places where they're comfortable. And comfortable turning around, handing the football off to David Johnson. He'll have his chance.
Right.
Throwing the football out to David Johnson out of a backfield is the way to make things better.
Mr. Cincata.
Mental health, don't worry about it. I am going to add Tim Tebow, and everybody can just pray for recovery with the likes of a young American such as Tim Tebow, who also abstains from premarital sex and is the way Americans should all live their lives.
Do you believe, candidate Cincata, that the fantasy industry is a place to practice religion properly, such as Jake Steele?
Why do you bring him off every single moment you can? I don't understand.
You're a moderator here. You're not asking for
I'm
your
asking opinion. My co-moderator please, what the hell
please
he's
answer the
about.
Question, candidate Cincata.
Everybody's entitled to their own religious beliefs and their own way of going life, and I want to respect the private lives of our natural citizens. I'm a candidate. I can be held under the microscope, but the natural citizens, they don't, you know, let's leave them alone, and let's leave the children.
He wanted to help the candidate's private lives just now, but 5 minutes ago he wanted to euthanize our elderly.
He did. Corey, yes. Corey, my final question to you does regard climate change. Now, your players all play in a dome.
Yes.
Your opponent's players all play outside, some in tough spots, in Green Bay, in Seattle. Very, very, very tough weather. What is your opinion and stance on climate change?
My opinion on climate change is we have to be very careful with our resources. Our planet is one of the most important assets that we have. We have to protect our planet. Mm-hmm. My opponent, mm-hmm. this evangelical madman. This evangelical madman seems as if he has a tough time getting that through his head.
Hey, there you go. Vote at FNTSY Radio, and make sure you go vote in the polls for your next president of the United States. For Scott Angle, Tony Cincata, Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Happy Election Day. Go vote. We'll see you tomorrow morning.